This is the Paul Gough Audio Experience. Whether you call yourself a PT, a physical therapist, or a physiotherapist, and wherever you're listening to this right now, this is for you. It is me revealing everything I can to help make you a more successful business owner. Thanks for listening. It means the absolute world to me. I've got some good stuff to share with you. I'm back from Portugal. I had a little venture down to Portugal. I had a 10-day trip with the kids. So we did a 10-day all-inclusive, which I'm sure you know what the all-inclusives are. You're kind of in this complex on a hotel site for 10 days. We do venture off now and again, but it is quite the experience with four kids under 10, being trapped in a hotel room in such a confined space with four kids who do nothing but fight, who seem to find energy just as you start to lose yours. As the sun drains the energy from the parents, it seems that the kids find a second, third, and fourth gear. So we had a fantastic time and just amazing. Fantastic place if you ever get a chance to go down to Albufeira in Portugal. I have a fantastic hotel recommendation if you're heading there with the kids. We are counting down the days to PPM live. We're making we're in the fun phase, I think, right now. I get to talk about hiring Mimi and Austin and Shirley Shagwell and various other people that may or may not show up at the PPM event in October. For those of you who are just thinking, what the effing hell is Paul talking about and don't know it, it's an Austin Powers themed event. So there will be some surprises on stage around the Friday night swinging 60s party. So we found a store where you can basically buy all your Austin Powers clothing for those of you who might want to get dressed up and have some fun for the weekend. So good to see so many of you bringing your staff. We love it. We love it. We love it. We reckon there's going to be 300 plus at this one. I'd like to see 350, but we're on course for 300 already. So please bring your staff. We're going to have, like I said, lots of fun. All of the content will be relevant. I'll be talking about advanced lead generation. 50-60% of the weekend will be me speaking about the whole kind of start to end process for all of your clients, why it's so important to do so now more than ever. And I'll do my best to get your staff indoctrinated into that mindset. The big problem you have with staff is really this, that they see brand advertising, they see the billboards, they see the TV, they see the Super Bowl ads, they see big healthcare systems, Cleveland Health Clinic slapped all over the town or Orlando Health or whatever, right? And they think that you should emulate that, that you should look professional and it should look big and it should look, you know, fancy and all this type of stuff. And it's actually contrary to how it really works in small business. And that's one of the biggest fights that you have with your team, is they just don't get that small business marketing works very, very different to big box marketing that they're used to seeing. They'll say, well, I wouldn't buy an ad like that, you know, because they don't think like that. They just think about the big brand advertising that they're used to seeing on the telly. So we'll talk all about that across the course of the weekend. I've got Greg Crabtree lined up for you. Greg is a personal coach of mine. I've worked with Greg for years. Genius when it comes to numbers and business and building a business and structure. He's the guy that really helped me just get numbers and unravel them from people all the way to a spreadsheet or spreadsheet all the way back to people. Make sure you check out his book, Simple Numbers, on the way to the event. Very, very, very... he's a bit like a Yoda. I call him Yoda. That's kind of what he's like. He's just a sage. He's just this guy you talk to, and within 5 minutes, he's just put the world at ease in terms of what's happening and kind of explaining certain things in your business and how people are behaving. So do us a favor, book your seats right now. Register for it. There's the Austin costumes that you can get. And the insurance pre-date. People have asked about this. It's nice to see people booking on it. The insurance pre-date, I'm going to go through the 7 or 8 things that I think, if you're an insurance-based business, are absolutely vital if you're planning on making any transition to hybrid or cash pay success. There'll be 12 to 15 maximum. It will be roundtable style. There'll be some PowerPoints, but I'm really going to get close to you and I'm going to give you a chance to tell me what you think you need to know and what your big questions are. And we'll sit down in the room, just you and I, Simon probably, Barry possibly as well, and we'll go through the steps, the 7 or 8 big things that I think as an insurance-based business owner, if you're stepping back a little, even just that 10%, 10%, 10% towards hybrid and then towards cash, we'll do an insurance to cash pay. It feels like everybody everywhere in the PT world wants to teach you how to do a cash pay business, right? That's kind of what I've looked at and thought, you know what? What about these insurance-based businesses who are trying to move towards cash? So there's tons of people teaching the cash-based scaling and cash-based startup, But what about the folks who have to go home and tell their wife or their husbands that they want to drop some of this insurance stuff and go towards cash? What about the people who have to tell possibly 15,000 patients in a database, sorry, we don't take United anymore, we don't take Anthem, we don't take Blue Cross? Like, how do we do that? What about these insurance businesses with 15 staff? How do you tell them that you're not taking insurance and that they have to buy into this cash thing? So that's really what that pre-date is about. It's a very niche kind of small group that I'm looking to work with, 10 or 12 reasonable size insurance businesses, some hybrid at this point, but looking to get towards a lot more cash. We'll talk about the major hires, where it could go wrong, where it could go right. I'll introduce you to some people that I know have done it really, really well, some mistakes that people have made, and we'll turn that into a really good insurance to cash pay day. Then across the Thursday, the Friday, and the Friday, Saturday, and the Sunday, it's really the advanced lead generation, how we get you to exist independent of the system, which the system is controlled, the monopoly is the doctors and the insurances. How do we get you to exist independent and be successful outside of that? Book the pre-day through Sophie. I think there's a link, or just email Sarah right now, Paul, if that's what you want to do. Do you think the pre-day has value for an already existing cash pay business wanting more volume? Look, I put on the sales page, I'm like, don't rule yourself out if you don't. We're going to go through some fundamental principles to be successful. You know how it works in marketing. You've got to appeal to a certain group. There's not going to be anything that you won't learn from. But if you're already doing 100% cash, probably might not be the best seat, but there'll definitely be something to learn from it. If you've still got insurances, you've still got conversations to have with staff, family, friends, you still haven't figured out what the most important role is, the most important position, etc. You're not going to not benefit from it. If you're 100% cash, probably not for you. But if there's some insurance going on, it's definitely, it's definitely for you. Seats and Flights Books says Taruna, looking forward to it. And there's the link there from Sarah for the pre-date. But it'd be cool, it'd be 12, 15 max in that room. So it'll be a small, intimate kind of affair, really, just to give the insurance businesses a bit of love, because it feels like the cash people seem to get all of the attention in the PT world, which is cool, but there's obviously a hell of a lot of insurance-based businesses out there as well. So today I've got some things. I'm probably just going to talk a little high-level, deep kind of stuff. It feels like it's been a little while since I've gone deep and probably got into your head a little bit. So I've got some questions that I'm going to kick off with. I'm in the middle. Well, I'm not actually in the middle anymore. The book, my new book is out. It's called Extraordinary Achievement. You might have seen it in the group. I don't know if they've done it yet, but the launch, the date you can buy it is October the 5th. So it's now in its last round of edits, and it's almost with the Amazon and the graphic person to get it uploaded into Amazon. So it's about 75,000 words, 15-page book. It's called Extraordinary Achievement, What It Takes to Get to the Next Level of Success in Life and Business. And basically, I identified 14 principles, 14 things that I think, if I looked at my life, those were the things that I needed to do, right? I'll give you a little sneak peek. One title, chapter 5, Why Is Everybody So Serious? Chapter 4 is called What Drives You On Can Also Drive You Mad, which is about finding your underlying why, not the bullshit why that is the, you know, my kids, sorry, that like isn't the sort of driving why for most. That's the kind of surface level, kind of hypey, sounds nice in the books and all that type of stuff, but that's not the why that drives most business owners on. So there's a chapter on what drives you mad, also drives you on. Chapter 3 is all about, what was chapter 3 about? Chapter 3, Ambition Creates Conflict, which is all about how you have a drive and you have this motivation to be successful and do things, which is contradictory to how most people of the, you know, rest of the world around you think you should behave. So the ambition that you've got often creates conflict in your life with people you love and people you want to be friends with. And it's how you mitigate that and how you deal with that. Chapter 2 is called Breaking Rules and Loving It. Number 6 is called Star Qualities That Entrepreneurs Need. What was chapter 7? What a Waste of Time. Ultimately about how people waste so much time in life. Chapter 8 is about leverage. Chapter 10 is called Zig When They Zag. On and on and on it goes. Anyway, right, this book is basically 14 principles that I think have really helped me in life. And if somebody said to me, what's the things that you've done differently, they're probably all in this book. A little bit controversial. I've certainly made myself laugh writing it, which is usually a good sign that it will piss a few people off. And certainly a few people will not kind of agree with a few things, but that's kind of the way we kind of have to live. And if you want to make a bit of progress and all that type of stuff. But in the book, anyway, I got to ask the question, and here it is. This is the one you might want to ponder later and reflect on. When did the purpose of life become to please others or want others to approve? When did the purpose of your life become to please others or to want others to approve of what you do? Think about the question. I cannot believe that as a kid, that you had aspirations and dreams that your life would become about pleasing others and hoping that others would approve of you. Except as a kid, what we rely upon mostly is emulation. We look at others and we emulate what they do, right? Anybody that's got kids, more than one, I've got four. The three-year-old behaves like an eight-year-old. He's never been a kid. He's never watched Disney. He's never done anything except fight, play football. It feels like he's been talking since he was 15 months old. He is so old before his time, it's untrue. And he's not a freak of nature. It's because he's emulating a six, nearly seven-year-old and a nine, nearly 10-year-old. So emulation is ultimately how we learn to behave. It's how we learn to find our place in society. It's how we learn to look at people and think, well, that's what they're doing and I like him, or you know, they're setting an example for me, so I emulate as a kid. The problem is when we continue to emulate and we emulate the wrong problem, what happens is we end up living a life of limitation. So the second question is, how do you begin to live beyond the limitations of imitation? How do you live beyond the limitation of imitation? Because most of the limits in your life are coming because of the imitation that is continuing to happen in your life. Does this make sense? So if you want to know why your life, right? And it's a trick question. It's a loaded question. When did the purpose of life become to please others, right? Now, you're immediately going to shut that down and say, the purpose of my life isn't to please others. And I'd say, I'm sorry, if I came and looked at your life, your actions would tell me something else. You might disagree with what I'm saying, but the principle of what I'm saying is probably true, because most people's life has become about pleasing somebody else. Most people's life has become about seeking approval for somebody else. So as much as we don't like what I'm saying, there's probably some truth in it. And therefore, the purpose by design, or not by design, by unconscious behavior, has actually become for most people to please other people. So I exist now to please other people. I exist hoping to get somebody else's approval for how I behave. I don't consciously agree with that, but if I looked at most people's behavior, if I looked at your behavior, that's what most people do. Am I making sense? So we don't like it when we hear it. I'm not the purpose of my life is not to please other people. And yet every opportunity you have to live your own life, you probably shy away from making the decision that you should make in favor of doing something that pleases somebody else. Therefore, your life has become about purpose, has become about somebody else. I like to spend my money on my health. I really value my health. Could you show me your bank statements, please? No, you don't. You think that you like to value your health, but your actions through your credit card and your purchases show me that you do not value your health. So I have this view of the world that I think is true, and I think the purpose of my life is more than to please other people, and I think that it's more than to seek approval, but my actions and how I live and the decisions I make tell another story, much like the bank statements tell another story for what I'm wanting you to believe about how I spend my money. I like to spend my money doing all of these experiences. I love to spend my money on travel. I love to spend my money on my personal development. Well, you don't. Like, I can see IKEA. I can see Netflix. I can see takeaways. I can see a coffee club subscription. I can see ASOS or whatever else, clothing companies and various other things, right? But I can't see the things that you think that are valuable to you. And in the same way, you think you have a purpose to your life. This is what I'm getting at. You think you have a purpose to your life, but actually the actions that you take tell you otherwise. That's the bit I'm trying to get you to understand. That at what point have you made the purpose of your life to please somebody else? And at what point now is the limitation of your life becoming or happening because of the imitation taking place in your life, which was fine as a kid, but now if I'm continuing to imitate, is that causing the limitations? If I'm continuing to imitate people around me who are living a certain way, this is where I'm going with it. If the people around me are living a certain way and I'm following them, if they're making the same decisions and I'm making the same ones too, and I dare push the boundary of those decisions and I dare do something radically different and I dare go out on a limb and I dare just not jump a little out of the box. I mean like a frog getting completely out of the pan. If I don't do that, then I'm imitating. And by definition, I'm limiting what I can do in my life. I'm still the three-year-old kid. I'm Grace and emulating Tobias and Harry, which is absolutely fine at three. I want him to emulate his brothers, not Tobias sometimes, but probably Harry, right? But right now, it's cool. It's like, it's really endearing that a three-year-old and Xander's going to emulate Grayson and on and on this goes. But we better make sure that they're emulating at the right time, the right people, according to the success that they want for their life. The book, right at the end, I said, you may love this book, you may hate this book. Chances are, if you're reading chapter 15, you like it. You know, unless you're a sadist, you're not going to read a book that you hate, right? Or you're just like punishing yourself. But what I said ultimately is, this book is not a good book, nor is it a bad book. If your life is about progress, is about stressing the status quo, is about achievement, it's about aspiration, getting to a next level in life, this is a good book. If your life is, you want normal, you want what 90% of the world gets, if you want to live like everybody else, you want to think like everybody else, you want to behave like everybody else, you will hate this book. It is a bad book. So ultimately, the book is not a good book or a bad book. What's important is what's the goal. And if the goal is this, then this is how you have to behave. If the goal is this, then don't behave like this. You'll be fired very, very quickly. If you followed half of what I'm telling you to do in the book, you'd probably be single, thrown out of your relationship and fired, right? Like that's not the goal. But if the goal is to be independent and autonomous and live a life of freedom and not restricted and not limited and all of these other things that most people feel like they are, well, you might need to follow a few things in the book, and therefore it's probably a good book. So what's the goal? And back to imitations. As you look around society and you hang around with people, you should be looking at people going, I'm going to imitate that piece of him because he lives in the way that I want to live. I'm going to imitate that piece of her because she lives a way that I want to live. She's got something in her thinking. She's got something in her actions. She's got something in her relationship with her husband. I want a piece of that. I'm emulating that bit. I don't like this bit, but I like this bit. And if I continue to emulate the right people who live in the right way, then I'm going to have significantly more progress in life. The problem for most is they're still emulating the same people that they did when they were 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. And because everyone's had that mindset, there's a whole lot of activity happening that's producing a whole lot of activity, but there's a hell of a lot of average people within that activity. And therefore, people are not getting what they want. They're not getting that next level of achievement. They're not getting freedom. They're not getting to break the cord on false beliefs, on status quo, on that feeling of just never feeling like no matter what you do, it's good enough, or you never feel like you're making progress. There's always something eating away at you. And I think it's because of imitation that leads to limitation. This emulation started as a kid, and unbeknown to most people, the purpose of their life, the real purpose of their life, in terms of what they're actually doing, has become to please others or seek approval from others. And that is what they're emulating, because that's what Sally did next door. That's what the brother did. That's what your sister did. That's how your mother behaved. She needed approval from her father. Your father needed approval from his father. And on and on and on and on this thing goes, everybody emulating, leading to huge limitations in their life. At what point do you have to cut the cord and say, I love that, I respect it, I think it's absolutely fantastic if that's what you want to do, but I want a different game. I want to play a different game. I need to go somewhere else. I can respect you, I can love you, I can value you. I can do all of these things, but I can't follow this path because that's not the path that I want to be on. That path leads to frustration. It leads to limitations. If I want to go down this path, I probably have to be a bit brave and I have to start to emulate a different model completely. So that's what I've got for you today. It's a little bit of a thinking time episode tonight. Has life, what's the purpose that you think your life is versus what it's actually really become? Just test yourself over the next 7 days. Just how many times is that decision to please somebody else or to seek somebody else's approval? If there isn't a little bit of conflict in your decisions, a little bit of, oh, somebody's going to be pissed at this. My mom's not going to like this one. Oh, like somebody's not going to appreciate. Let's see how this person reacts when I do this. If there isn't a little bit of that in your life, like a little bit of almost self-humor going on in some of these decisions, because you know it's going to piss a few people off. Like all of a sudden living your own life, right? When you start to realize this, you start to have more fun because you know that people are going to be pissed because you're doing your own thing. But that's up to them to decide how they want to behave based upon what you want to do. Anybody that needs you to conform to this, what the fuck do you want them in your life for? You can still love them. You can still have them around. You can still be nice to them. But why would you want to prove to somebody? Why would you want that person's approval who wants you to conform to their view of the world? Who told you that that's how you had to behave? Track it all the way back. Emulation. That's how everybody else behaved all around them.
Thank you for listening to Paul Gough's audio experience. If you're brand new to Paul's world, head on over to paulsmarketingbook.com where you can get started with his number one best-selling marketing book for physical therapists. Or if you've been listening to the show for a while, you like what you hear and you think that you could benefit from this type of help to accelerate the growth and profitability of your practice, reach out to Paul's team at paul@paulgough.com and tell us exactly what you're looking for. And by the way, if you know someone who would benefit from today's show, please share it with them. And if you've got any questions that you want answered, tweet Paul at the Paul Gough using the hashtag AskPG. You can also find all of these details over in today's show notes. All right, until next time, have a wonderful day.